Tell me what happened.
He locked me out. He changed the locks.
I told her she wasn't allowed to live there anymore.
Burned by the ultimate betrayal.
Miss Williams decided to be unfaithful in the relationship, so I had to have her leave the house. After she did that, she took off with my son.
But is their baby caught in the middle?
It was between 4 and 6 weeks where I had no contact with my son whatsoever.
Why did you cut Mr. Miller off from his child?
That's not true. I didn't do that.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Robert Miller is suing the mother of his child, Stephanie Williams, for a loan to buy a new car and to register it.
Order. All rise.
This is case number 106 on the calendar, the matter of Miller versus Williams.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ma'am, have a seat.
Mr. Miller, this case is about your claim that the defendant was your girlfriend, you have a child together, owes you for a car loan.
Yes, ma'am.
You lived together for a period of time.
Yes, ma'am.
When did you live together?
Well, the last period was from May of 2012 to August of 2012.
And when was your child born?
April of 2010.
Were you living together then?
Yes, we were.
From when to when?
At that period, it was from March of 2010 until January of 2011.
In whose home were you living from May of 2012 until August of 2012?
My apartment, ma'am.
And where had the defendant been living prior to that?
With her mother, Miss Sandra Williams, who's seated right here.
So at the time this vehicle was purchased, the two of you were living together?
Correct.
And in May of 2012, you were unemployed?
Correct.
In June of 2012, you were unemployed?
That's correct.
In July of 2012, you were unemployed?
Yes, ma'am.
In August of 2012, you were unemployed?
Yes.
From the time your son was born, had you been employed?
No, ma'am.
From the time your son was born, were you in touch with the plaintiff?
Yes.
Did he regularly see his son?
Yes, he did.
Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
So let me just fully understand and appreciate this, Mr. Miller, because I'm not unsympathetic with you, but that doesn't mean you have a case. Mm-hmm. From April of 2010 until August of 2012, you were in regular contact with the defendant. Stand still. You saw your son. You knew she was unemployed, being supported and living with her mother. Then she came to live with you, being supported by you. Mm-hmm. And it was during this time, in the summer of 2012, that you claim you made a $4,000 loan to her to buy a car.
Correct.
Now, there is no question, and the plaintiff does not deny, that in fact you purchased a car and put it in her name because she had no car to drive around herself. Her car broke down, and you purchased a car. Now, Mr. Miller, where'd you think she was going to get the money from to pay you back?
There was an agreement that she was going to get a job.
I offered to loan her $4,000 to purchase a 2003 Ford Explorer. She swore to me up and down she would pay me back over the next few months. Since we were living together and start a family, I had no reason not to take her at her word. Let me tell you, I'm going to give you 36 months of reasons that you shouldn't have taken her at her word. Because she was unemployed since 2010. You didn't see her work, period, ever, from the time you were together. Now she has a baby. She's living with you. She's not working. And you're telling me that in your brain, you said over the next few months, she's going to have enough money not only to take care of herself, but to pay me back $4,000. What do you think she was going to do over the next few months in order to pay you back $4,000, which means after taxes she had to earn about $8,000. Where do you live?
In Massachusetts.
In Massachusetts. Probably has to earn $9,000 if I know the state of Massachusetts in order to clear $4,000. Where did you think she was going to earn that over the next few months?
Well, I wasn't expecting the whole lump sum within 3 months. I was expecting her to at least see her get a job within the next 3 months and have it have
I don't know
start
what
there,
prompted you, sir, to even think that. Based upon her history, I would not have thought that. She was living with her mother since the child was born. You're her mother?
Yes, I am.
Do you work?
Yes, I do.
Full time?
2 jobs.
Oh, well, you know what? I would work 1 job and make her get a job.
She has one now.
Great. So I wouldn't work two jobs while my kids stayed home and did nothing. Now you have some idea where I'm coming from.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I know you bought the car. I know why you bought the car. I believe you that she didn't have a functioning car. Car was put in her name. Go, Mr. Miller. You got to convince me.
Like I said, the car was purchased in July. In August, 4 weeks later, Ms. Williams decided to be unfaithful in the relationship, so I had to have her leave the house. After she did that, she took off with my son for a 4 to 6 week period when I had no contact with her. She wouldn't answer emails, text messages, phone calls. So the only way that we had any contact with the family was my mother ended up emailing her mother. I have those emails right here. And I couldn't get a hold of her, so basically her mother was the spokesman for the family and for her. And that's the only way that I had any contact with what was going on with my son.
Okay, now, why did you cut Mr. Miller off from his child?
That's not true. I didn't do that.
Tell me what happened.
I didn't want to deal with the rudeness of him, so I decided to keep the conversations only to what pertained to our son.
Well, what arrangements did you make when you left for him to see his child?
Just whatever was in place before.
Which was?
Every Tuesday night and every other weekend.
Did he see the child every other weekend?
Yes, he did.
Even after you left?
Yes.
That's not true, Your Honor. It was between 4 and 6 weeks where I had no contact with my son whatsoever.
I actually believe him.
That's absolutely not true.
Now I'm going to look at the emails.
Yes, ma'am.
Maybe the emails will shed some light on it.
These are from my mother.
No.
Just pan them up. On what date did you leave?
Around August 20th.
It was August 18th, Your Honor.
Did you leave in the morning, afternoon, or evening?
In the morning. I went to New Hampshire that weekend with my family.
And you didn't come back?
No, he locked me out. He changed the locks.
I told her she wasn't allowed to live there anymore. Not after somebody doing something like that to myself.
Well, your mother said now that she's going to work, is she willing to assist with the loan payments when she becomes employed? Wouldn't we all like a free car? So that belies the fact that there was an agreement that she was going to pay you back. And then Miss Williams' mother answers, it was greatly appreciated that Rob bought her a car. And if he would like $10 a week to pay him back for it, just say the word and I'll see what we can work out. So even that response belies the fact that you had a prior agreement, a contract with her, to pay you back for the car. The next email, the response is, this even says from your mother, doesn't say that you thought she was going to get a job. This says, Stephanie stated she would put the lump sum payment she got from DOR. What's DOR?
Department of Revenue.
What is that?
So I had my own business, and for a short period, it wasn't doing so well. So I got backed up on my child support, about $800. I ended up depositing that into the Department of Revenue, and it took about 2 to 3 months for Ms. Williams to actually receive it. In that period of time, we got back together, and that $800 was hanging above our heads, right? So when the truck was purchased, she had promised me that she would take that $800 and give it back to me towards payment of the truck.
Well, you didn't tell me that. Did you tell him that?
No, I didn't.
Did you get the $800?
I did. I owed my mother money, so I gave it to my mom.
Oh, no, can't do that. Sorry! Sorry.
I never said
Sorry.
That I was going to give him money
Sorry.
For it.
Sorry. Sorry, you gave your mother his $800?
No, that was my child support that he was backed up on.
$800. So far, you got $800. It's getting to look better for you.
That was...
It's getting to look better for him. You got a car, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And while
you
she...
didn't... Just... You got a car, right? A $4,000 car. You got a $4,000 car that's so far costing you $800. I would say, thank you, God. You're very wise. Now, Mr. Miller, pay child support?
Yes, ma'am.
How much?
$150 a week. And may I just add that while Ms. Williams was living with me, she was still collecting her child support. So I was supporting her and my child, plus she was receiving her DOR payments, which is how child support is paid in Massachusetts.
Just a second. Were you getting welfare?
No. He had to pay through the state because he wouldn't pay
You were living with him?
For just a couple of months.
He's some piece of work.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today.
So you were regularly employed at a full-time job and you had part-time work.
As a musician.
Could you tell me why you were getting welfare? Stand up.
Why
straight.
I was getting welfare?
Yeah, explain to me why you were getting welfare.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Robert Miller says the mother of his child, Stephanie Williams, owes for a loan to buy a car and to register it.
Did you sell your old car?
I got $375 for
it. The answer is yes.
Yes, I did.
And you got how much?
$375.
What'd you do with it?
I don't remember.
Did you sell it at approximately the same time as you got this car?
Yes.
$375.
He told me that he didn't want me in that car anymore because I was going to fix that
car. I think that that's great. I believe you. I believe you that he said, I don't want you in this car anymore. Let me tell you what a normal, nice person does who is being supported by somebody who was a stranger to her. Stranger, not your mother, not your father, not a sister, not a brother. A stranger. Made a baby with him. He's still a legal stranger to you. Maybe the father of your child, you're the mother of his child, but you're a stranger to him. And he said to you, come live with me, I'll support you. And you have this beat up old car, I want you to drive in a safe car. That's what you were gonna tell me, okay? Would seem to me that somebody who had a moral compass would say, when I get the child support check, I will give it to you. And when I sell the car, the old piece of junk, I will also give you the money for that because I'm not paying for my food. I'm not paying for my electricity.
He didn't
want me
to work.
What do you mean he doesn't want you? How old are you?
I offered to get
him. How old are you?
I'm 31 years old, but
let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. That's a mutual decision. You also didn't work at your mother's house.
I did work until I was eight months pregnant.
You didn't work from 2010. Your mother got two jobs in order to support you and your kid. Yo, I'm $1,175. Thank you. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
He's controlling. He tells me what I can and can't wear.
There's no controlling going on.
Tells me who I can hang out with and who I can't. Goes through my Facebook, goes through my phone.
She has a low standard of friends that she hangs out with, and that's the only thing I tried to keep her away for her and my son's sake.
I would like him to just be a good dad, and like he is, and I want him to stop harassing me.
I hope that we can get along for the sake of my child, and that's about it.
And now, the next case.
All parties in a matter of Lowe versus Story. Step forward.
Tara Lowe is suing her ex-boyfriend, Jonathan Story, for unpaid rent and bills and for damaging her screen door when he punched it.
Miss Lowe, the defendant is your former live-in boyfriend. You say you supported him. He promised to pay you back. He didn't. You want the money. The defendant has a counterclaim. He says you illegally evicted him from the apartment. That's pretty much what the case is about.
Correct.
I want to start with you, Mr. Story. How old are you, sir?
27.
Stand up straight.
There we go. 27 years old.
You a musician?
Yes.
What kind of a musician?
Rap slash hip hop.
Do you make any money at that?
To a certain extent.
What does that mean?
Like royalties, ASCAP royalties, things like that, show money. However, my first choice of employment is where I get the majority of my income, which is, you know, a regular job.
What's your regular job?
Alliance Financial Resources. I'm an administrative assistant.
When did you start that job?
Started about 3 months ago now.
Prior to that, where were you working?
I was working at another telemarketing agency and so on and so forth. I've been up and down on jobs. I went through a lot this last year, about four actually.
Four jobs?
Yeah. However, there was not a lot of gap in between employment, so.
So you were regularly employed?
Yes, regularly
employed. So you were regularly employed at a full-time job and you had part-time work?
As a musician.
As a musician. Give me an idea of how much money you would make as a musician.
For about a six-month span with shows, I'd say about $800.
$800 for the whole 6 months?
Yeah, yeah.
And how much would you earn from your regular employment?
About $1,200 a month.
And during what period of time did you live with the plaintiff?
Not good on the dates, but it was for about a six-month period.
Six-month periods while you were both working and doing your royalties?
Yes.
Could you tell me why you were getting welfare? Stand up.
While
straight.
I was getting welfare.
Yeah, explain to me why you were getting welfare.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
You called the studio where he was working one day, and you heard a female voice. You got angry, and you locked him out and changed the locks. And you can't do that. Because you picked a loser doesn't mean you can lock him out.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Tara Lowe is suing her ex-boyfriend, Jonathan Story, for unpaid rent and bills and for damaging her screen door when he punched it.
Now, explain to me why you were getting welfare.
Prior to that, I was...
Not prior to that. While you were living with her.
Oh, while I was...
Which is what you told me.
Yeah.
Listen to me carefully.
Uh-huh.
While you were living with her, you just told me I was employed on a full-time basis in telemarketing, making $1,200 a month, and you also had additional income from royalties, et cetera, et cetera. And I would like to know why you were getting welfare. A bird would like to know why you were getting welfare.
I was getting...
What?
I was getting welfare for about 6 months prior, and I just
let it run out. Not 6 months prior. I'm not talking 6 months prior. 6 months prior is a nebulous kind of number. 6 months prior to I asked you specifically. Mm-hmm. When you were together, you were working on a full-time basis, plus you had additional income. You're a single male making $1,200 a month, plus. And I would like to know why the taxpayers in this country were contributing to your food and benefits card, because that's what you talk about in your answer. Because I had to look up these words that you swore to in your answer. She used my EBT benefits.
EBT benefits. Okay.
So, while you were living together.
Yeah.
And used my access benefits every time she got sick. And my, I assume it's an ATM thing or whatever you use, this EBT card.
Yeah.
So, is there an explanation that you want to give me, or you want to go on to something else? Go on to something else.
Yeah.
It's probably a good idea. Yeah. Now, this is what I gather from your story, Miss Lowe. And I must tell you from the beginning, I am super unsympathetic with him, because I think this stuff that he just gave me was a whole lot of mumbo-jumbo hustle, except he wasn't hustling me that he was getting welfare while working. However, your complaint was interesting, because you said you moved into an apartment, you signed a lease together, so he was entitled to be there. You called the studio where he was working one day, and you heard a female voice, you got angry, and you locked him out and changed the locks.
And
you can't do that. You can't do that. Because you picked a loser doesn't mean you can lock him out. Those two things don't go together when he is on the lease.
Understandable. We did have a verbal agreement.
A verbal agreement for what?
That if I asked him to leave, he would leave on his own terms.
But he didn't, so you locked him out. You can't
Correct.
Do that.
That's what I was told by the police officer to do, is change the locks for fear of myself.
I don't listen to me. You had no fear of your own safety. When you spoke to him on the phone, according to you, you said, I'm locking you out and I'm throwing your stuff out on the porch. And he said, you better not do that. I'll beat you to a pulp. Well, you can't tell him you're going to lock him out of his home.
It was at a later date that we changed the locks.
Listen to me. You can't lock him out. That's an illegal eviction. So you got to pick who you're going to live with very carefully.
I agree.
Are you still living in the apartment?
Yes, ma'am.
You living there by yourself?
Yes, ma'am.
Good. Good for you. You don't get any money from him. Because he does have an action for illegal eviction, which really sort of irritates me. However, there's a big however.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by. Are you the victim of a scam? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Did she cover your bills for a period of time?
The first 2 months that we stayed with each other, yes.
And what did she cover for you in bills?
Rent.
Rent?
Yes.
And how much was your share of the rent?
This was not while we were living together. This was like when we first had started dating. I was in my own apartment and I was unemployed. And
she gave you money when you were not living together?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How much?
Approximately $575 per month, so in a 2 month range, so.
Like $1,000?
About $1,000.
Which is what you're suing for illegal eviction?
Yes.
So on your claim.
Yes, ma'am.
For money that you advanced him for rent, I'm going to give you $1,000 on paper. And for his illegal eviction, I'm going to give him what he's asking for, which is $1,000. Which means you both get nothing. Which means you can't lock him out, but you did advance him this money for rent, and you owe her the money. What?
Your Honor, he was a great guy at first. He actually paid me back.
Listen,
the money that I owed
him. Do I look like Dr. Phil? I don't care. I don't care about being a great guy. I don't care about. Is there any reason? Do you have?
I'm just trying to wet my throat.
You did that before we came in. Mm-hmm. I'm here with you, and I haven't wet my throat. What? Goodbye.
Well,
goodbye,
ma'am.
Folks. Thanks.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
He punched the screen door in until.
There was a screen there. and I knew it.
With my face behind it.
And I was aggravated, so.
Police told me to file an order of protection, which I did.
Yeah, I've learned my lessons.
And to change the locks, which I did.
She's crazy. That's about it.